Let's turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and to the final chapter, chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. These are the last words of the Bible. And we're going to take just that little bit of time to read the chapter. There's just 21 verses. And may God speak to us as we read His Word. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we bow reverently before thy word. We thank thee for this last chapter of divine truth. We thank thee for these things that were revealed to the Apostle John. And we thank thee that they have been written down. We have the inspired record before us. We thank thee for the things that we learn, the things that God would have us to know, what the Holy Spirit would teach us in this book and in this final chapter. We pray that thou wilt speak to us now. Give to the preacher utterance in the Holy Ghost. Help me to speak as the prophets of old spoke in their day, as thus saith the Lord. O God, we're not here to preach the words of man, but the word of God. We're not here to declare the ideologies of man, but what God has said in his word. And we need wisdom, we need power, we need grace. Lord, grant us a hearing for the word, and grant to this preacher power to proclaim it. We ask in the precious name of the Savior. Amen. On this final Lord's Day of the year that God has given to us, I want to direct your attention to the 17th verse of this final chapter of Divine Truth, where we read these words. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. As you know, because we've been studying the opening chapters of the book of Revelation during the past number of months, John, in his time of banishment on the island of Patmos, received glorious revelations from the Lord, wonderful visions, things that he saw. And you will mark that word throughout this book, the things that he saw, I saw. And what he saw, the Lord instructed him to write it down. And in writing it down, he was to send it to the seven churches. But we've seen already that the message of this book is for all of God's people. It is not just for the seven churches of Asia Minor, it's for us all. And God has preserved this book in the canon of Scripture so that we might have it today, these many centuries later, and that we might profit from what we read in this book. Heaven, the dwelling place of God, is continually alluded to throughout the book of Revelation and these visions that John was given. John was given a conducted tour of glory, and his eyes fell upon the most transient, glorious sights. He saw the throne of God and of the Lamb and all its majestic glory. He saw the 24 elders that the Scripture speaks of gathered around that throne. He saw a sea of glass. The four living creatures that were there, one like unto a lion, another like a calf, another like a man, and the fourth one like an eagle. He saw the angels of God. He saw the blood-bought saints, arrayed in white robes, speaking of their purity and their righteousness before God. He saw the great white throne of judgment that was set up, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. He saw the riches and the splendor of the New Jerusalem, so described throughout the book of Revelation, and particularly in the last two chapters, built from jasper, gold, and other precious materials. Chapter 22 describes the wonders of heaven. We discover that there is a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from God's throne. In the midst of the street of gold and on either side of the river was planted the tree of life. We learn that there shall be no more curse in this place. The curse of sin has not been permitted to enter into glory. It has been lifted and removed forevermore. Those who have inherited the kingdom of God by salvation through the blood of the cross will serve the Lamb, and they shall see his face. What a day that will be for the believing people of God when they see him And they see him as he is. That face that was marred more than any man because of sin. Every shadow, every dimness, every trace of darkness has been eradicated and eradicated forever. Because we are informed in verse 5 that there's no night there. And there's no need of a candle. There's no need of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. And they, the people of God, shall reign forever and ever. As the final vision comes to a conclusion, the apostle's mind is solemnized by the fact of the Lord's second coming. The great and the terrible day of the Lord is yet to be. And this return will be sudden. The Lord will come suddenly. Behold, I come quickly. And that's emphasized. Three times over we have it in this final chapter in verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. And then in verse 20, surely I come quickly. And the great response from John, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. The coming of Jesus Christ will be sudden. And the coming of Christ will be soon. You see what we read there in verse 10. He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. I sometimes think of those who wrote the scriptures back those centuries ago were able to speak in such terms. How much more relevant is a scripture like this for us? If John was able to say these things and to write these things in his time, the time is at hand. Well, then surely for us that time is even nearer. The coming of Jesus Christ will be soon. And the coming of the Savior will be in judgment. Look at verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. And listen to the final part of the text. To give every man according as his work shall be. The Lord is coming suddenly. He's coming soon. He's coming in judgment to this world. And he's going to give to every man, as the scripture tells us here, according as his work shall be. Although this event is a joyful and exciting event to the true believer, the child of God, it's a solemn and a sobering event for the unconverted. The angel that is sent to the churches to proclaim this message, and you know, as the angel proclaims this message, it reminds us that preachers and Christians generally are the angels of God. In this sense, they are messengers sent by the Lord to proclaim the word of God in our day. I am to remind you that Jesus is coming again. This was the message of the angel here. And that's the same that we proclaim today. It's the same message. Jesus Christ is coming again. And I am to give warning of this event. I'm to remind you that our blessed Savior, who came the first time to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, is coming again without sin on that great day. If men and women ever want to enter heaven, the paradise so described in this book, then they must be saved. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. As the final revelation of the Lord concludes, he gives a wonderful and a gracious opportunity for men to get right with God. Although death is imminent, and the end of the world is closing in very rapidly, and the judgment day is coming soon, the Savior is still willing to save men. He's still willing to rescue the perishing and to care for the dying and to snatch them in pity from sin and the grief. In our text, we have the Lord's last appeal to a fallen race. His last plea to a world lying under the curse of sin. His ultimate cry to lost sinners who are dying in their sin. Here in these words of verse 17. What an appeal it is. I thought it appropriate on this last Sabbath day and this last gospel meeting as it is, as far as the Lord's day is concerned, that we should bring to your attention the Bible's last call to sinners for salvation. And here it is in these words of our text, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Three simple thoughts that I want to leave with you tonight as we close this service. First of all, the invitation that is proclaimed. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Here we have the joint invitation from the Holy Ghost of God and the true members of Christ's church. The Spirit of God, the third person of the glorious Trinity, tenderly entreats the sinner to come. And the bride of Christ also pleads with the sinner to come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The invitation is uttered firstly and mercifully by God Himself. The Spirit says, come. Wonder, did you ever stop to consider this, to realize that the call to repentance and the call to salvation is sounded out preeminently by the God of heaven? I'm only an instrument, as all other ministers and preachers are, in the hand of God, just a servant to spread the message of the gospel. It's the Almighty Spirit who extends the invitation, bidding men and women by the Spirit to come to the gospel feast and partake of that feast. How many times have you known and experienced the workings of the Holy Spirit in your soul as He strove with you and pleaded with you and invited you to come, but you would not? Many times now. I'm asking that question in this service tonight. Those who are without the Lord, many times has God spoken? Many times has the Spirit of God and mercy come by when the gospel message was proclaimed and in your heart you were convicted of your need? You felt your sin. You realized your condition. You realized the awful consequences of sin, and God talked to you and you knew that God was speaking. How many times has that happened through your lifetime? Many times has it happened in the 19 years that I've been here, let alone in the previous ministries of this house? All that gospel preaching, all those services that you have attended, gospel missions that you have frequented, and the Lord has spoken by the Spirit many times. And just take the course of this year in 2015. I don't know many times you've come here in the Lord's Day or missions that you've attended, but the Lord has come near, and the Spirit of God has said through His Word, come. And that invitation has been extended graciously to you. And many times, we're living in a privileged day. This is the day of opportunity. It's the day of grace. This is the day when the Spirit of God deals with precious souls, when the Spirit of the Lord hovers over the hearts of unregenerated men, pointing them to Christ, broods over the darkness of your soul, seeking to shine in the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The Spirit says, come. And He's still saying, not tonight. And then the bride says, come. Who is the bride? It's one of the lovely descriptions given in the Bible that speaks of the church, the people of God. You look there in the previous chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, and note what it says in verse 9, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. The bride is the Lamb's wife. Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, has a people. A people that are described as His bride. The people that He has taken into union with Himself. Every person who has been born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the precious blood is miraculously and eternally joined to Jesus Christ in a marriage bond. All the saints of God unite to form the bride of Christ. And very soon the troubles of this life and the sorrows of this life will be over. That's a good thing. We're thinking about the days that are filled with sorrow and care. The men sang it earlier. Think of the burdens that press upon us almost on a weekly basis. Think of the troubles that we're encompassed by in this life. But one day, all those sorrows will be gone and gone forever. And this world that knows us now will know us no longer. When we shall pass out into the eternity of God, those of us who are saved and redeemed shall enter into the place that is prepared. The Lord has a place prepared for his people. I go to prepare a place for you. And he has prepared this place in celestial light and glory. What a day that will be to look forward to. When time on earth has ceased. When the devil and his angels are destroyed. This book speaks of that. When the Christ rejecters have been judged and sentenced and cast out forevermore. There's going to be a special celebration that will take place in heaven. We shall sit down at celestial table spread at the great banqueting feast. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Sometimes at weddings, we like to draw attention to this book of the Bible in chapter 19. And there are wonderful parallels to draw between this wonderful day that is still to take place when the celebration will occur between Christ and his bride, and then draw the parallels to maybe a modern-day wedding. But let's read what the Word of God says in Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, that is to Christ. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. As a member of the Bride of Christ, I want to re-echo the invitation of the Holy Spirit and bid you come. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Come with us and we will do thee good. Come with us as we journey to heaven. Join us as we travel to meet the King in all his splendor. Sit with us at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Spirit extends the invitation. The Bride reiterates the invitation. And the burden of that invitation is here in this word, come. That's the invitation of God to you tonight. The word is used three times in this verse alone. God wants sinners to come. And Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to Christ, he will receive you. He'll not turn you away. You're invited tonight. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The second thing I want you to notice from our text is the qualification that is pronounced. Who are invited? Who are qualified? The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. As I read this verse of Scripture, I am reminded of an Old Testament equivalent. I'm brought to think about the prophecy of Isaiah and the chapter 55 and the opening verse where it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Again, three times over, the word come is mentioned in that verse. An open invitation is given to all to come and partake of the streams of the water of life. Let him that is athirst come. What is the qualification? The qualification is thirst. You must realize that your soul is dry and parched with sin. You must acknowledge that there is absolutely nothing that you can do to quench that thirsty soul. And that is why Christ says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He knows our human nature. He knows the great need of our souls. He knows what soul thirst means, and that nothing else but the fountain of life can satisfy the soul. David knew that longing. He expressed it in some measure in the words of the Psalm 42 and the opening couple of verses, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." I wonder tonight, are you thirsting? Are you panting after real life and fulfillment? Are you longing for soul satisfaction? Then you're qualified to come. You are invited to come. You're included here. Who else is qualified? "And whosoever will." Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Are you willing? Not only God can make us willing, but I'm asking you the question, are you willing to accept the offer of mercy and receive Christ as Savior? And if so, this invitation includes you. No sinner is too poor. No sinner is too wicked, too vile to receive the mercy of God. It's for the whosoever will. A man doesn't need to be intelligent or educated or talented or religiously instructed or wealthy to come. All he needs is to be willing. Whosoever will. It doesn't cost money. Salvation is absolutely free. Let him take freely, without money and without price, as we saw there in the prophecy of Isaiah. Because Jesus has paid it all. That's why it comes freely to us tonight. Jesus Christ, in what he did when he came to earth, in the life that he lived, in the death that he died, he has paid for it all. And what a costly price that was when we think of Calvary and the cross and him laying down his life in a sacrificial offering for you and I. The qualification pronounced, the thirsty man, the willing man. And then I want you to notice also in our text that there is the satisfaction that is procured. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What do you think about that little phrase, the water of life? The human soul needs to be satisfied. And only the water of life can truly and adequately supply the need of the soul. When a thirsty man comes to drink of the fountain of living water, he shall never thirst again. Christ is the water of life. He is the only one who can bring true satisfaction. Christ doesn't only half satisfy or bring happiness for a temporary period, but he fills our lives to the full until our lives are full and running over. When preaching the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ issued a series of blessings. We call them the Beatitudes. The fourth one demonstrates the satisfaction that is wrought in the soul of one who received. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." He not only fills us to the brim, but our cups are indeed, as we've said, full and running over. The chief musician said, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." Have you drunk tonight of the rivers of the pleasures of God? Have you experienced this satisfaction that only God can bring? You've sought satisfaction. Young people are seeking for satisfaction tonight in the world, in the things of the flesh, and they're trying this, that, and the other. And there is a great cry in their heart to be satisfied and to be contented. But they soon realize, and if you haven't realized it, I trust that you will realize it tonight, that this world, with all its pleasure, cannot satisfy or quench the thirst of the soul. You ask the Christian who has tried the world and then turned to Christ where true satisfaction is found, and they will tell you every time, in Christ. In Christ. They tried the broken cisterns, the water failed. But when they came to Christ and they drank of the fountain of living water, praise God, they never thirsted again. This is forever. You can think of what we read in the earlier part of this book in chapter 7, just at the end of the chapter, verses 16 and 17. They shall hunger no more, speaking about the people of God in glory. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This expression of the waters, the fountain of waters, continues. The Lord satisfies for all eternity. Christ can meet the need of your thirsty soul tonight. I want you to understand that. Are you burdened? You got a longing in your heart? Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Jesus says, come unto me. There isn't a burden that he cannot bear. There is no sin too dark for his precious blood to cleanse. There is not a problem, but he can solve that problem. He says, come. And he says, come and be satisfied. Why should you wait any longer? Why should you delay this matter that deals with your soul? Why linger in your sin? We've come to the last Lord's Day of this year. In mercy, God has brought us through. Others have been taken. Some have died belonging to the church family in the past year. But God has preserved you. And if you're not saved, that's a wonderful thing, that you're still living and you still have the opportunity. You can be saved tonight. Are you thirsty? Are you willing? Come to Christ. That's the message. The last call of the Bible to sinful man is the last call of this year in the service tonight to you. It is my prayer that you'll obey it as the Spirit and the Bride say to you tonight, come, let us pray.